ప్రేమ సకహో శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తులందుకి శ్రీ 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 వృందావన ధామకి నవద్వీప్ మాయాపూర్ ధామకి జగన్నాథ్ పూరి ధామకి గంగమాయకి జమునమాయకి భక్తి దేవికి తులసి మహారాణికి సమవేత భక్తులందుకి హరే కృష్ణ మహామంత్రికి ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సో రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాంటో 4 చాప్టర్ 6 వర్స్ నంబర్ 35 విద్యా తపో యోగ పాఠం ఆస్థితం తం అధీశ్వరం చరాంతం విశ్వసుహృదం వాత్సల్యాలోకమంగళం. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ ఇస్ The demigod saw Lord Shiva situated in his perfection as the master of the senses, knowledge, fruitive activities and the path of achieving perfection. He was the friend of the entire world and by virtue of his full affection for everyone, he was very auspicious. Translation with repetition. The demigod saw Lord Shiva situated in his perfection as the master of the senses, knowledge, fruitive activities and the path of achieving perfection. He was the friend of the entire world and by virtue of his full affection for everyone, he was very auspicious. Purport. Lord Shiva is full of wisdom and tapasya, austerity. One who knows the modes of work is understood to be situated on the path of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One cannot serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless one has achieved full perfection, perfectional knowledge in the ways and means of performing devotional service. Lord Shiva is described here as Adhishwara. Ishwara means controller and Adhishwara means particularly controller of the senses. Generally, our materially contaminated senses are apt to engage in sense gratificatory activities. But when a person is elevated by wisdom and austerity, the senses then become purified and they become engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the emblem of such perfection, and therefore in the scriptures it is said, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava. Lord Shiva, by his actions within this material world, teaches all conditioned souls how to engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Therefore, he is described here as Lokamangala, good fortune personified for all conditioned souls. ஓம் அஜ்ஞானத் மிரந்தஸ்ய ஜ்ஞானாஞ்சன சலாகய சக்ஷுர் உன்மிலிதம் மேன தஸ்மை ஸ்ரீ குரவே நமஹ. நாராயணம் நமஸ்கிருத்ய நரம் சைவ நரோத்தமம் தேவீம் சரஸ்வதிம் வியாசம் ததோ ஜயமுதீரயேத். நஷ்டப்ராயேஷ பத்ரேஷு நித்யம் பாகவத சேவையா பகவதி உத்தம ஸ்லோகே பக்தி பவதி நைஷ்டிகி ததா ரஜஸ்தமோ பாவா காமலோபா தயஸ்சே சேதயேதரநாவிதம் ஸ்திதம் சத்யே பிரசீத்யதே. ஏவம் பிரசன்ன மனசோ பகவத் பக்தி யோகதஹ ஜனயத்யாஸ்ய வைராக்யம் ஜ்ஞானம் சேதயேத். ஜய ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர ஸ்ரீவாசதி கௌர பக்திருந்த. ஹரே கிருஷ்ண ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம ராம ஹரே. சோ திஸ் ஃபோர்த் கேண்டோ பிகின்ஸ் வித் த ஜீனியலாஜிக்கல் டேபிள் ஆஃப் த டாட்டர்ஸ் ஆஃப் மனு. இன் திஸ் சாப்டர் வி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஹவு ஸ்வயம்புவ மனு had five children. First he had two sons whose names were Priyavrata and Uttanapada, then the three daughters beginning from Akuti, Prasuti and Devahuti. And of course Akuti married Ruchi, Prajapati Ruchi, and then Devahuti married Kardama Muni, and then Prasuti married Daksha. And in this way, and also the whole generations populated by their descendants and their sons and their grandchildren, like that the whole population was populated, because they were progenitors and they were prajapatis, and of course Devahuti and Kardama Muni, they had the supreme personality of Godhead as their son, Lord Kapila Dev. And then they had nine daughters, and all the nine daughters were married to great sages, and they also populated the universe. The universe was filled with the population and their descendants. And that's anyone who hears this description of the dynasty with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. So those who hear the description of the dynasty of Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, with faith will be relieved from all sinful reactions. And then of course Daksha begot 16 very beautiful daughters with love, with lotus like eyes, with his wife Prasuti. Of course Sati was the was their daughter. So again, second chapter starts with the Daksha curses Lord Shiva. So we all know that how in the beginning, like the progenitors of the universe, they perform the sacrifice. And in the sacrifice, all the great sages were assembled there, and all these great sages, demigods and the saints, everybody were assembled in the assemblage there. And at that time, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, they were all seated. At that time, Daksha enters the arena with, he looks very effulgent, and with his effulgence, everything will become very bright. And when he comes, everybody stands up and gives a very good reception, except Lord Shiva. Everybody gets up and gives a very, very good reception, and then Lord Brahma gives him a seat too. And before Daksha sits, he feels very much offended that Lord Shiva did not get up and give him a good reception and show any respect to him. So he was very much offended by that. And then he begins to talk very ill of Lord Shiva, and he blasphemes Lord Shiva so much that finally he curses him, that he will not get any oblations of the sacrifices that's offered. Any oblations he will not be getting. All the demigods will get except Lord Shiva. So that then the followers of Lord Shiva, they become enraged. Who was the Nandishwara on the side of Shiva's followers? He was the leader, and he becomes very enraged, and he gets very angry and starts to attack the followers of Daksha. And the Daksha's followers, headed by Bhrigu Muni, there's a big fight going on. They are cursing and counter cursing. This is all happening, And then there the chapter, that chapter finishes, and then the third chapter begins how there's a talk between Lord Shiva and Sati. So Lord Shiva and Sati, and then actually this Daksha Prajapati, he wants to perform another sacrifice called Vajapaya, and in that he will invite all the great souls and the sages and the progenitors, the demigods, everybody he'll invite except Lord Shiva and Sati. So then everywhere they see that so many people are happily traveling in the airspace, going the aircrafts, all the demigods very happily, they were all very dressed, Gandharvas, you know, everybody traveling very, very happily to attend the sacrifice. They are all dressed very beautifully with nice ornaments. And when Sati sees this, she feels very much sad that everybody is going there, and she will request Lord Shiva that please give me permission that I want to go. So to go to father's house, so when something is happening in her own father's house, so how she can miss out that? She really feels very sad that she definitely want to visit father's house. So then she'll request Lord Shiva to give her permission to go there, and she says that one can go to somebody's house uninvitedly, it's not like we cannot go. Then Lord Shiva says that if one is honored, then one has to definitely go. But when we go and the person where we go and we don't get that respect, then you know it is not good to go to such place. So, but still Sati being very much attached, women are weak in mind, then you know there's so much affection for the father. That is what in the purpose Prabhupada says, that the woman, first of all, she should think that the husband is everything and follow the footsteps of the husband, and should not like one should not be overly, once one gets married, one should not be overly attached to the father and the mother's house. They should now think that leaving the serving the husband is their prime duty, and following in the footsteps of the husband is the prime duty of a wife, not going. So Sati was really intent on going, and even though Lord Shiva said that, even though you are the favorite daughter of Daksha, but still because you have married me, you will not get any respect. So that is why better you don't go there. If you go there, you will be very upset. But then Sati really wanted to go, and she asks Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva actually, he smiles first, and she says that Dakshayini, whenever he addresses Sati as Dakshayini, she feels very morose, because she feels that very sad that how she is related to such a person who is such an offender to the lotus feet of a great Vaishnava like Lord Shiva. So then she again decides to go somehow, and she is very much, then the fourth chapter begins where Sati quits her body. She is in the like a pendulum, like you know, pendulum and the swing. She is going to and forth, whether she is undecided whether she to go or not, and finally she decides to go. And when she decides to go, she'll be followed by all this she'll be taken in the chariot with so much pompous, so much great procession. Like she likes the bird very much. Bird is given, and you know, everybody, all the followers of Lord Shiva, they take her in great procession to Daksha's place, palace. So there, as soon as he goes, there nobody, like you know, except his her mother and sisters, they give her very great reception with lot of affection. They welcome her and all, but Daksha neither he will welcome her nor talk to her. Like you know, usually in the Vedic custom, it is said that when some guest arrives, there are three things which are very, very important to follow. This past time we hear when Parikshit Maharaj when this Kalipurusha comes, Parikshit Maharaj, who are you? Why are you here? Says that I'm Kalipurusha. I have come here to the time has come. Now I have come. Then Parikshit Maharaj, no, as long as I live, I will not let you enter into my region like that. Then Kalipurusha says that time nobody can stop. If you think that as long as you live, that the Kali should not enter the Kali, then you know your death is very near. he says. Then he says that, okay, like, you know, I have come under your shelter. Please give me shelter. Because the duty of the king is to give shelter to whoever gets becomes surrendered. So he actually, so Parikshit Maharaj gave shelter to Kali, and then he said, please give me some place. Now I have come, I have to live somewhere. Please give me where I can live. Then Parikshit Maharaj said that wherever there is gambling, illicit sex, intoxication and all these abominable activities, there you can go and reside. Then he says that I can't find anywhere where these things are happening. Then he says, okay, you can live wherever there is gold. Then Kalipurusha will come and sit in his crown, and then Parikshit Maharaj, like, you know, he'll go to, for hunting, and he feels very much thirsty, and he goes to the Samikamunish ashram and he asks, please give me water, I'm very thirsty. So Kalipurusha is sitting, actually he's acting very differently because of the influence of the Kali sitting in. So he asks, please, I'm so thirsty, can somebody give me water? Why nobody is giving me water? Like that time, you know, then, you know, then the Samikamuni is completely in trance, so he is not even aware what's happening around. Then he takes a dead snake and garlands this Samikamuni, and then he goes away. So like that, in that section of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada says that any guest arrives, these three things are very, very important to do. Like that, we have to give a very good reception. And then give them seat, place to sit, and then offer them water, and then speak sweet words. So this is the Vedic etiquette of receiving a, giving a good reception. So these things, so now here, because this Daksha was not received properly, so so all these things, then this Sati was very, very upset that she was not given good reception, and nor the he even spoke, he didn't give good reception, nor they, first of all, Daksha had not invited Lord Shiva for the Yajna, nor he had invited Sati, and when she came also, he did not, he completely neglected her. So this made her very, very upset, and she decided that the body with which she got from the body of Daksha, she didn't wanted to have that body, and she wanted to give up that body. So because he is the big, he has blasphemed such a great Vaishnava Lord, like Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva is such a great personality that he is only seeing always good in others. Even there is little bit, you know, he's not, he doesn't see any fault in anybody, and even if somebody has good qualities, even little good qualities, he magnifies it. And such a great soul, you are offended him. So like that, you know, then he says, I don't want to maintain this body from whom I got this body, so I want to give up this body. Then she, by mystic yoga process, she gives up her, she sits in a particular way and dresses in a certain way, and then she quits her body. And then the fifth chapter begins, like a frustration of the frustration of the sacrifice of Daksha. So in this chapter we see that how Sati will, so then what happened after that, in this chapter how it begins is, Lord Shiva is very, very angry that his wife is has died, and he is very, very upset. So he is like, you know, with fierce teeth and angry, and with the trident he says that my wife is now killed, and he takes a bunch of his hair from his head, and then he creates a demon by name Veerabhadra, and he is so fierce, and by his walking everything will be trembling, and he goes and disturbs everything in the arena of sacrifice. He goes and disturbs, and they do so much destruction everywhere and all that, and finally this Veerabhadra, he will kill Daksha by the one sword. He will try his best to kill, but he will not be able to kill, but there will be one weapon with which they will be killing the animals, with that he will kill Daksha. So all these things, then that, then the current chapter which we'll be doing today is frustration. Then Brahma satisfied Lord Shiva. So Brahma is now, so all the demigods they were all disturbed. Then, you know, they all, demigods, the sages, the members of the assembly, they were all very much disturbed because so much chaos happened. Then all this Veerabhadra came and killed so many people, disturbed everything and killed Daksha. And they were all very much scared now. And then they all come and take shelter of Lord Brahma. Then they will come to Brahma and say that, see what all these things has happened now. We are very scared. So they will fall, offer obeisances to Lord Brahma and then say, please now, we are very scared. Please tell us what we can do now. Then Lord Brahma says that, first of all, in this yajna that you performed, you have disrespected the great Vaishnava. How can you be successful in any yajna where you have blasphemed the great Vaishnava like Lord Shiva? So this is what, one can never be happy when you disrespect or blaspheme a great devotee like Lord Shiva. Then he says that Lord Shiva still, even though you have done all that, but Lord Shiva is very, very merciful. Even now, if you go and surrender to him, and then he will forgive you. Then he will tell all the demigods to, then he'll take all the demigods and to this place called Kailash. Kailash Hill, where the Lord Shiva usually resides there. And there's a big, very great description of Kailash Mountain, how it was filled with the beautiful mountains, the lotuses, the minerals, the jewels, and the beautiful peacocks there. And very, very beautiful description. And there's a nice lakes like Nanda, Sunanda, where Sati used to bathe there, and it was washed by the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. So all the great demigods, and they, after enjoying the sense gratification, they would go and come and take bath in that, get purified like that. So there's all this great description. Then coming to this, while traveling, the demigods passed over the forest known as Saugandhika, which is full of varieties of flowers, fruits and desire trees. While passing over the forest, they also saw the regions of Yakshesvara. So in that way, they came to finally, they came to the sea, Lord Shiva. The demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting, and there was a big banyan tree, 800 miles high, and its branches spread over 600 miles around. The tree cast a fine shade which permanently cooled the temperature. Yet there was no noise of birds. The demigods saw Lord Shiva sitting under the tree, which was competent to give perfection to mystic yogis and deliver all people. As grave as time eternal, he appeared to have given up all anger. Lord Shiva sat there surrounded by saintly persons like Kuvera, the master of the Guhyakas, and the four Kumaras, who were already liberated souls. Lord Shiva was grave and saintly. So today's verse is, Vidya tapo yoga patham astitam tam adhishwaram charantam vishva suhridam vatsalya lokamangalam. The demigods saw Lord Shiva situated in his perfection as the master of the senses, knowledge, fruitive activities and the path of achieving perfection. He was the friend of the entire world, and by virtue of his full affection for everyone, he was very auspicious. So now let us understand the qualities of Lord Shiva. Who was Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is one of the Mahajans. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahalado Janako Bhishmo Balirvaya Sakirvayam Dvadashaite Vijanimo Dharman Bhagavatam Bhata Guhyam Vishuddham Durbodham Yam Gnatva Amritam Ashnute. So there are 12 Mahajans who show the path Dharmam to Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. The religious principles are enunciated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So how to learn those religious principles is through the 12 Mahajans, beginning from Swayambhur. Swayambhur is Lord Brahma. Swayambhur, Narada, Shambhu is Lord Shiva, of course. Kumara, four Kumaras, Kapilo, Lord Kapila, Manu, Swayambhuva Manu, and Prahalado, Prahalad Maharaj, Janako, Janaka Maharaj, and then Bhishmo, Bhishma Pitamaha, and then Balir Vayasakir Vayam, Bali Maharaj, and Vayasakir, who is Vayasakir? Sukadev Goswami, and then Vayam, and I myself. So, these 12 Mahajans, they show the path. So, one of the Mahajans is Lord Shiva. Not only that, he is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. He is the greatest of the Vaishnavas. So, and he is the perfection in the following the religious principles, and his one has to follow in the footsteps of Lord Shiva. And he is also known as Charachara Guru. Charachara Guru means he is the guru of animate and inanimate objects also. Lord Shiva is the spiritual master of entire world and he is free from enmity. He is Nirvairam. Nirvairam means he is free from, Vairam means enviousness, enmity. But Nirvairam means he is free from enmity. And he is Shantavigraha. Shantavigraha means he is very peaceful personality. And he is also Atma Ramam, satisfied within himself. So Atmaram, the greatest, and he is satisfied within himself. So he is called Atma Ramam. And he is the greatest among the demigods. Daivatam Mahat. Among the demigods, he is the greatest. And how is it possible that Daksha could be inimical towards such an auspicious personality? So like that, so Lord Shiva is a great personality. So now coming to this purport, it is said here that one can engage in devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with the purified senses. Atah Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indre Sivan Mukehi Jihvado Swayam Eva Spuratyada. One cannot understand the name, form, qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with materially blunt senses. So one has to purify the senses through Sevan Mukehi Jihvadav. So with the tongue, one has to vibrate the holy name of Krishna and chant the glories of Krishna. So in that way, and also eat Krishna Prasadam, that way one can purify and then one can understand and engage in pure devotional service of the Lord. So Lord Shiva purified by his great austerities. And he is also called Adhishvara, means Ishvara means controller. Adhishvara means particularly controller of the senses. He has complete control over his senses. And also he is a controller of the senses. And also it is said that in the Bhagavad Gita, 5th chapter, 18th verse, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Suni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshinaha. So one who is in complete knowledge, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision. So one who is in complete knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so, and also this 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, there are 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. So all these qualities will become manifest in a person with just one quality. What is that? Krishna Eka Sharanam. When we surrender to Krishna, so that surrender to Krishna will automatically bring all the 26 qualities in the personality. So like that, Lord Shiva had surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all these great qualities have come in him. So like that, these 26 qualities are he is showing. And also like it is in the pastimes of, once what happened, this Chitraketu, he was traveling in the outer space in his airplane. So while he was traveling in the outer space, so he saw, this comes in the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, how Parvati curses Chitraketu. So Chitraketu was traveling in outer space in his airplane once, and then at that time he happened to see that Lord Shiva was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam to the great assembly of great sages there. At that time Parvati was sitting on his lap, and then he was embracing Parvati, and then he was reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam in the assemblage of great sages. So Chitraketu, when he saw this Lord Shiva being the greatest personality and is the perfection in religion, and he is the greatest of all the living beings, so doing this embracing Parvati, he was very shocked to see this scene, and he laughed very loudly. When he laughed, and then Lord Shiva saw, heard this and saw this everything, but he gave a good smile and he was very peaceful and he didn't feel anything. He was very peaceful. He took it and he just laughed and he just kept silent. But whereas Parvati, she felt very much offended. She said that, does this Chitraketu thinks that he's greater than Lord Shiva in the matter of controlling the senses? How come he's like, you know, he's lowest among the Kshatriyas? How he can offend? Even like, you know, Lord Brahma, Bhrigumuni, and then Narada, four Kumaras, and all these people, they are there, who are the perfection in religion. Do they don't know this, which Chitraketu knows? And he's like, you know, does he think that he can punish people and he can judge people? How he can do this? Like, you know, she feels very much offended by this. Then she says that, like, how ordinary people, in a private place, they hug and, you know, they talk. So like this, he's comparing this. He did not understand the exalted position of Lord Shiva and Sati, of course, Parvati. And he, like, you know, he laughed. Then Parvati felt very much offended and she cursed him to take birth in the low demoniac family of the sinful demons. And she cursed him to become Vritrasura. Of course, we all know the story of Vritrasura. Vritrasura, although he was born in a great demoniac life, but he was a very transcendental devotee. So that's very nice pastimes which comes in the sixth canto. It begins from the chapter 7, where Indra, see, all these pastimes of Daksha and also this Indra, a very small mistake will become so big. Like Chaitanya Charan Das, he was telling in the class, like, we have to leave the small things in the small size only, not make it very big. So like this, even this Daksha, just because the Lord Shiva did not stand up, actually Lord Shiva did not actually stand up, it was not because he wanted to insult, he never even thought about it. He was a great Vaishnava and he was meditating, Vasudeva Shabditam. He was completely immersed in the meditation of Lord Vasudev within himself, and he did not want, like, you know, he was completely transcendental and he was offering obeisances to the super soul within Daksha, like he was not on the bodily platform. But whereas Daksha was completely in bodily platform and he was puffed up because of his Prajapati's high position, so he could not recognize. Sometimes Janmaishwarya Sruta Sribi, Edamana Madaha Puman, Naivarhatya Bidatam, Vaitvamakinchana Gocharam. One who is endowed with education, high parentage, and very much opulence and beauty, they become so much intoxicated by these things, they cannot really appreciate the good, great qualities, because of that, they cannot really appreciate and they become blinded by these things. So that is very, very dangerous. So these things are very dangerous. If we do not use it in the service of Krishna, all this Janma, Ishwarya, Shruta, Sribir, then they can become a great impediments. So like this, Daksha became very puffed up and he offended Lord Shiva. So similarly here, Parvati also felt very much offended of Chitraketu, that how he could do that. Does he think he's greater in the senses than Lord Shiva in controlling the senses? So like that she felt, and not only Brahma and all these great sages, they were all sitting. Nobody corrected Lord Shiva because they knew the exalted position of Lord Shiva. Whereas this Chitraketu, being so audacious, no? He laughed at him and insulted. So she cursed him to become the Vritrasura. Of course, Vritrasura. Then also in the pastimes of Indra, the seven chapters go there. Starting from 7th chapter to 14th chapter, the entire pastimes happens. Indra, the similar situation, when Indra actually was sitting on his throne in the heavenly kingdom, that time Brihaspati enters. And he doesn't even stand up and give any good reception. And Brihaspati, being his spiritual master, he feels very much offended. Then he just disappears. Then after that, Indra, suddenly he gets up and he starts to get very scared. Oh my God, I have done a great mistake. Then he goes and searches everywhere for Brihaspati and he cannot find it. So because of that, he falls into so many series of problems. Just because of one small mistake, he falls into so many problems. And again, you know, there's a Vajra weapon created to kill him, like all these things. So like that, all these pastimes happen. So here, so Lord Shiva is a great personality, but still, sometimes, Lord Shiva, even though he is the Gunavatar, sometimes because he is the in charge of the mode of ignorance, destroying, so sometimes he also gets affected by this pleasure and pain of this material world. So that is why, because Daksha did not respect, blasphemed him, that, and also he felt that, he also says that even the arrows that comes, they are not so painful as the harsh piercing words of these people who, even in the pastimes of, in the 11th canto, the Uddhava Gita, the Lord begins that Uddhava Gita like that, like Avanti Brahmana, in that pastimes, the Lord begins like that. So one who can really tolerate this insult, even the harsh, that speaking is, even the arrows, they don't hurt so much as harsh words like that. So one who can tolerate that, then he is a very great personality like that. So these pastimes happen, and then Lord Shiva is known as Lokamangalam, good fortune personified for all conditioned souls. So Lord Shiva, actually, even though he appears externally to be not very clean, and he's with the associates like ghosts, hobgoblins and all these people, but still he's he's a great soul, because his machine to come into this as Lord Shiva is to reclaim the conditioned souls who are struggling and who are in the lowest modes of nature, like modes of passion and ignorance. So when to give them association, to elevate them, that is why he is called Lokamangalam. He is deliverer of the fallen souls. So he gives his association and he delivers all auspiciousness. So his name itself, Shiva, means all auspicious. That's what Sati says, that Lord Shiva is all auspicious. How can such a person can be blasphemed? So these things was very, very hurting her. That's why she decided to give up that body. This body I have got from the sin personified. So I want to give up this body. I don't want to maintain this body any longer. So like that, even when Lord Shiva addressed her as Dakshayini, she didn't like, because she was related with her father as a daughter. So she was called as Dakshayini. So she did not like that. So so that's how Lord Shiva is, even though he is a great personality, sometimes because he's the in charge of, he gets affected by this pleasure and pain of this material world. And so sometimes he did feel bad about it, but still he was very composed. He did not retaliate. But only when his wife died, gave up her body, he was angry actually. So there we end this thing. And then today is the auspicious appearance of auspicious disappearance of Devananda Pandit, who was also living at the times of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advent. I can just read little bit about him. Sri Devananda Pandit used to live at Kulia. He was a famous reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, and many people used to study the Bhagavatam under his guidance. One afternoon, Srivas Pandit came to hear Devananda Pandit's recitation of the Bhagavatam. Hundreds of students were seated around the Pandit, and some were following his reading in their own personal copies of manuscript. Srivas Pandit was a very advanced devotee, and thus when the sweet nectar of the Bhagavatam entered his ears, his heart became softened in love of God. He started to cry and roll on the ground. his body having become agitated by the waves of ecstatic love. When the students of Devananda saw this, they thought, "This fellow must be crazy. He is disturbing our hearing of the recitation. Get him out of here." Thus they picked him up and carried him outside. Though Devanand saw all this taking place, he didn't prevent those foolish students of his from committing this offense. As the guru was ignorant, so his students were sinful. Srivas said nothing but simply went to his house feeling very sad. All of this occurred before the appearance of Sri Gaurasundara. During Mahaprabhu's exhibition of his divine position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead for 21 hours, he asked Srivasa if he remembered this incident. One day when Mahaprabhu was taking a stroll around Nadia Nagara, he came to Maheshwara Visharada Pandit's house. At that time, Devananda resided there. Mahaprabhu heard him reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam from outside and became very angry. "What purport will that rascal explain? Not in any of his births has he understood the meaning of even one verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the avatar of Sri Krishna in book form. Devotion is the only subject it teaches. The four Vedas are like yogurt and the Bhagavatam is like butter." Srila Sukadeva Goswami did the churning and Maharaj Parikshit ate that butter. "Sukadeva Goswami is very dear to me. He knows very well that the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to describe the truth about me according to my own liking. Whoever sees any difference between me, my own devotees and the Srimad Bhagavatam simply brings destruction upon himself." Mahaprabhu made these statements in a voice loud enough for Devananda to hear. Then he turned to go back to his home. The devotees following him begged for more mercy. He continued, "All the scriptures state that Srimad Bhagavatam enunciates the highest realization. Without having understood any of this, simply for the sake of name and fame as a religionist and a scholar, he poses himself as a teacher of this great book, but he doesn't know the purport. Only one who has understood that the Srimad Bhagavatam is verily the inconceivable intelligence of the Supreme Lord himself knows that the only meaning of Bhagavatam is devotion. In order to understand the book Bhagavata, one has to serve the devotee Bhagavata." This is said in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the very first chapter. How to understand Bhagavatam, but from not only from book Bhagavata, from the devotee Bhagavata as well. Devananda could hear all these remarks from the distance, yet he thought nothing of it. After some time, Gaurasundara accepted sannyas and went to live at Neelachala. It was then that Devananda at last began to feel some remorse. "Such a great soul, totally imbued with love of God, but I never went even once to have his association." One day, Srila Vakreshwara Pandit came to Kulia to visit the house of one devotee there. In the evening, he held a festival of dancing and chanting the holy name. Devananda was present on this occasion and was completely stunned by Sri Vakreshwara's effulgence and ecstatic chanting and dancing. As the night progressed, more and more people came to listen to his kirtan until there was finally a huge crowd. Devananda took a cane and began to control the crowd so that Vakreshwara's dancing wouldn't be disturbed. When Vakreshwara fainted in ecstatic love, Devananda carefully put his head on his lap and brushed the dust from his body with his own upper cloth. Then he smeared the dust on his own body. That day his service to the devotees had its auspicious beginning. After some days, Mahaprabhu returned to Bengal to see his mother and the holy Ganges. He also came to Kulia. At that time, thousands upon thousands of people came to have darshan of his lotus feet. All of those who had previously committed offenses against Nimai Pandit by thinking him to be an ordinary human being now came to seek his forgiveness. Mahaprabhu forgave each and every one of them. Among those present was Devananda, who fell down on the ground to offer his obeisances to Mahaprabhu. From that moment, he became one of the Lord's foremost devotees. Still, he felt a little hesitant, and thus upon getting up, he stood to one side. Mahaprabhu addressed him, "Because you have served my dear devotee Vakreshwara, I am now pleased with you. By that service you have been able to approach me. Within Vakreshwara's person is Sri Krishna's complete potency. Whoever serves him must receive Krishna's mercy." Devananda, in a faltering voice, replied, "You are the supreme controller. Simply for the sake of reclaiming fallen souls, you have adventured yourself here at Nadia. I am a sinful wretch and have never served your lotus feet, and thus was cheated of your causeless mercy for so many years. O my Lord, who resides within the heart of all living entities, you are the supremely merciful. Only because you have shown yourself to me have I been able to see you. O most compassionate one, please instruct me. Let me know the actual purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam." Mahaprabhu replied, "Now hear me, O Brahmana, and know that the only way to explain the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam is in terms of bhakti. In the beginning, middle and the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is only one teaching, devotion to Vishnu, which is eternally perfect and which is never destroyed or diminished. As Krishna's various incarnations such as Matsya and Kurma appear and disappear in this world by their sweet will, in the same way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is not made or composed by any person. It makes its appearance and disappearance by its own sweet will. Due to the appearance of devotion, the Bhagavatam blossomed forth from Vyasadeva's mouth by the mercy of Sri Krishna. As the truths regarding the supreme authority are inconceivable, so are the truths of Srimad Bhagavatam. Many may pretend to know its meaning, but they have no real grasp of the evidence the Srimad Bhagavatam presents. But whoever simply remembers the Srimad Bhagavatam while admitting himself to be ignorant can understand the real meaning. The Bhagavata, which is saturated with the loving devotion for Krishna, is an expansion of Krishna himself and contains descriptions of his most confidential pastimes. Now you should beg forgiveness by catching hold of Srivas Pandit's feet. The book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata are not different. If the devotee Bhagavata is merciful to us, then the book Bhagavata manifests its true meaning." Then Devananda fell at Srivas Pandit's feet and begged forgiveness. Srivas embraced him and his offense retreated far away. All the devotees shouted in ecstasy, "Hari Bol, Hari Bol." His disappearance is on the 11th day of the dark fortnight in the month of Pausha. There's a temple there in the Nadia. Nadia means this Navadvip. Even today the temple is there, and that temple, whoever has done for the offenses, that place, if they go, they'll be forgiven there. So that place, if you can visit that place sometime, you can see that temple where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave this Devananda Pandit. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.